Welcome to A Way to Co-Create Relationships, Episode 16 of Co-Creating Peace, a series about conscious communication and conflict transformation. I'm Kathleen Owygon. Today, I'm joined by Sheila Meyerson and Rachel Aaron Kalish to talk about the Blueprint of We, a process that anyone can use to consciously co-create healthy, resilient, honest, and trusting relationships. I'll also share a letter from a listener and the advice I offered her. But first, the quote for today. Today's quote is by David Allen Coe. "It's not the beauty of a building you should look at. It's the construction of the foundation that will stand the test of time." Our topic for today, the Blueprint of We process, is a tool that helps construct a strong foundation for any kind of relationship, and is one that I'm particularly drawn to because it's a method of using a form of conscious communication in a process that helps co-create peace. So, of course, what a great topic for this podcast. Sheila and Rachel Aaron are with me today to give us some insights into the Blueprint of We process and its use as a tool to co-create peace. I met Rachel Aaron and Sheila at the 2018 National Coalition for Dialogue and Deliberation Conference. I attended their workshop on Blueprint of We and felt a strong connection to them, Blueprint of We, and the wonderful work that they do with it. As I was preparing to launch this podcast series and I was creating the list of people and tools that I want to introduce my listeners to, Rachel Aaron, Sheila, and the Blueprint of We were high on that list. Sheila Meyerson, PhD, helps individuals and organizations design relationships, processes, and structures for creative collaboration. In her first career as a research scientist, she became interested in how people collaborate or not in and out of the laboratory. She's a certified facilitator for the Blueprint of We process and a sociocracy consultant. Her passion is to create joyful, productive relationships and workplaces where everyone's voice matters. Rachel Aaron Kalish has a master's in counseling psychology and 30 years of working with organizations, families, and communities to deepen trust and inspire new ways of connecting and collaborating. She worked for 15 years with the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and is passionate about bridging political divides using spiritual, psychological, and community engagement tools. I want to thank you both for joining us today. I am so delighted to be able to share the two of you with my audience.
Thank you so much for having us, Kathleen. It's just wonderful to be with you again.
I ditto that.
Thank you, Rachel Aaron, and thank you, Sheila. Rachel Aaron, how do you personally connect to the concept of co-creating peace?
Well, such a great question, Kathleen, because, you know, that word brings up so much in me because I've seen it badly actually misused from all parts of the political spectrum over the years. So really optimally, it needs to be co-created. We can have tremendous inner peace from our own inner work and having empathy, and that can have an impact on our relationships. Yet for really profound peace in couples, families, organizations, communities, and countries, it's best if it's co-created, which requires a willingness and a skill set to get beyond fight, flight, and freeze activation that can grab so many of our brains these days when there's so much overheating and so much overwhelming so many of us.
Thank you, Rachel Aaron. And it sounds from what you're saying as though it's ideal for people to have a certain sense of mindfulness and an interest and desire to gain those tools to co-create peace. Would that be right?
I think that's really well reflected, Kathleen. Yes, I think so.
Thank you. And Sheila, how do you personally connect to the concept of co-creating peace?
The way I connected to it is that it has to be based on relationships. We as human beings are meant to be in relationship with each other. Often we make assumptions about each other based on what we observe from the outside without knowing the stories behind what's going on for someone else. When we hear those stories behind their behavior, then it gives us the opportunity to find common ground and to move towards each other. And what I love about the blueprint of we, which is what we'll be talking about today, is that it gives us tools to do exactly that.
Nice. And you're touching in on things that we've talked about in previous podcast episodes about assumptions and the dangers of assumptions. And so seeking those deeper insights that you just briefly referenced really makes a lot of sense in terms of avoiding those assumptions and building those stories on the assumptions, as we so often do, that leads us right into the threshold of conflict. So thank you for that. Rachel Aaron, Sheila just mentioned Blueprint of We, and that was what I so wanted to hear more about from the two of you. How does Blueprint of We as a collaborative process relate to peace and relationships of every kind, thinking about interpersonal, friends and family, workplaces, and in the political sector even?
Yeah, such a great question too. You know, as Sheila just mentioned, the Blueprint of We is really a specific tool that uncovers what our stories are, what our visions are, and what might break us down, like where the fault lines are in the relationship. And then we share that information with each other so that we don't make up stories about what the other person's behavior means. And we have so much greater opportunities to repair and return to peace. You know, studies with teams and groups, as I'm sure you know very, very well, show that psychological safety is the most important factor in high-functioning collaborations. And the Blueprint of We lays the groundwork for that safety where creativity can emerge.
Thank you, Rachel Aaron. And I love hearing you talk about that safety. It's something that I emphasize so much, how important it is to create a safe place to have difficult conversations and to be mindful to help the other person feel safe hearing the things that you need them to hear. And so Blueprint of We sounds like an outstanding tool for that creation of that safe arena that's so very important. Sheila, can you get more granular about the Blueprint of We collaboration process and help our listeners understand and have a vision of how that works?
Absolutely. So the Blueprint of We is both a document and a process to custom design our relationships. So we jointly write a collaboration document, whether for two people, a group, could be a family or a work team, or even an entire organization. And the purpose is to build relationships based on trust and to deepen the capacity to collaborate. We use it both for personal or for professional relationships. And it's all based on neuroscience and supports us to rewire our brains so that we can avoid that fight, flight, or freeze response that Rachel Aaron referred to and operate more out of our neocortex. We all know what it's like to get upset or angry or shut down in the middle of a conversation and not be able to listen to each other openly. Usually, without being aware of it, we can project our own upset onto the other person and end up breaking trust, and that interferes with our ability to collaborate. So let me say a little bit more about this. What happens in relationships, whether personal or professional, is that we bring with us all our assumptions about what a relationship should look like based on previous experiences that we've had with parents or with teachers or prior bosses or whoever. We're often not aware of our assumptions and expectations ourselves, and most of us seldom talk about these with each other. So then what happens is we get disappointed or resentful when the other person doesn't meet the expectations that we never discuss with them and to which they never agreed. Though the five components of a Blueprint of We give a chance to surface those expectations and be intentional about what we want to create together that will work for everyone. And then when we do run into snags with each other, and it's a question of when, not if, it's absolutely going to happen, the Blueprint of We is a tool to treat the stress as an opportunity to gain greater clarity about the relationship and to repair and build forward together.
So interesting, Sheila. So the Blueprint of We is about co-creating a relationship, is what I'm hearing from you. Is that right?
Yes. We design all kinds of things in our lives. We design a building that we're living in. We design what a project will look like when we're working on it with the team. And now what we want to do is also actually design the relationship that's the basis of all of that.
That makes so much sense. And as I'm listening to you, I'm recognizing that that isn't something that we normally do. And you're so right. We come into situations with a vision and a preconception about what a professional relationship looks like, for example, or what a romantic relationship looks like, for example. But we never talk about it with the other person. We just come in expecting, well, if they love me, they would know.
Right.
Or if they're a colleague in the same field, well, of course they see things the way I do, or whatever basis we have for our assumptions.
Right.
That is so fascinating, and how wonderful to bring consciousness into it. And so, Rachel Aaron, what are some examples of how it's been used and in what sectors?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for your appreciation of it. You so understand it, you know, the grounding that it serves, you know, really has a foundational capacity in any kind of relationship. And it's been used in consulting companies, in for-profit companies and nonprofits. It's been used with executive teams, with the faculty of K through 12. It's been used in classrooms. It's been used among chef and crew in professional kitchens, in video production companies, in a medical office. A large insurance company, in a Silicon Valley startup with business partners, and with therapists or mediators and their clients, and couples and families. So the range is very, very wide and deep.
It sounds like it. That's so impressive. As I'm listening to you, I'm thinking about some of the families that I work with. I do elder mediation, which is a type of mediation where you work with families who are in conflict over the care or financial maintenance of the elders in the family. And one of the things that we find in those situations is that these are relationships that have been going on, of course, for decades. These are adult children and their aging parents. And those relationships are highly structured over decades. How could Blueprint of We help in a situation where the relationships have been so strongly structured for so long?
That is such a good question, too. I keep saying that, but your questions are really just taking me, and I imagine both of us, deeper into really, you know, kind of unearthing some of the maybe even assumptions that we have about this work. So one of the ways that this can work is that, you know, great new relationships. If you want to just start out clean, it's like, you know, building a new house. You've got a foundation and that you're laying all the groundwork in. But if you have an old house, let's say, right, and with maybe some shaky foundations or some things that didn't quite work, you can go back and revisit. What is it that we really need from each other? What is the story of us? How do we come into this family situation? What needs have been met? What needs haven't been met? So it can really open the doorway, particularly as people are in end of life kinds of stages, and start to really look at, like, what are we not getting that we need? And how can we move forward together?
And I love the metaphor of the building, the structure and the foundation. And yes, in fact, with actual houses, they can be lifted up to explore what's wrong with the foundation or what's unstable in the foundation. And that can be restabilized. And what a beautiful idea to be able to do that in a family relationship. And especially when members of the family are on the verge of leaving their life, how healing that could be for everyone. That's really beautiful. And Sheila, I'm wondering what your thoughts are as you've been listening to what Rachel Aaron and I have been talking about here, and other examples you might have of how Blueprint of We is used.
Yes, there were definitely some thoughts, and I agree with Rachel Aaron to appreciate your questions, Kathleen. Rachel Aaron mentioned some of the settings where the Blueprint has been used. I might add that it's used in over 100 countries. So it seems to be general across many cultures, which just fascinates me. So I can think of a few specific examples to mention. So I think of a team that used the blueprint, in particular, they used the third component, which is called custom design, to map out the next 9 months of their work. They did this in the last half day of a 1.5-day workshop. At the end of that, they all said, wow, this level of planning would usually take us 4 or 5 meetings over a couple of weeks with documents going back and forth. We did the whole thing. They did this after the first couple of components of the blueprint, which allowed them to clear up expectations and establish the trust they needed to map out the plan with ease. That's just one example of the use in a team. I think of another team that used the blueprint when they transitioned from being a face-to-face team to being a virtual team. This was long before COVID, and the process broke down silos among the groups in the company. On a completely different note, I think of a married couple that wrote a blueprint of We, and I had a series of calls with them on Zoom on each of the parts of the blueprint. And after about the second call, they got back in touch with what attracted them to each other and why they were together in the first place, which they had both to some extent lost sight of in the midst of day-to-day busyness, raising children together, and so on. That was just so, so satisfying and made a profound difference for them.
That's truly beautiful. Thank you, Sheila.
Yeah, I have one more example of a large group, if you'd like another example.
Yes, please.
So this is a community leadership collaboration, and it's a yearly program in a city where 50 leaders from across all industries, private sector, government, nonprofit organizations, they all participate in a 9-month program to develop leadership skills and learn about community challenges and projects. They ultimately form small groups of 5 to 6 each, and each group is linked with a community organization where they work on a project that benefits the organization and the community. The blueprint of We and other related collaborative awareness skills are part of this 9-month program. So the large group starts with a large group blueprint design lab where the entire 50-person class interactively writes about and has multiple short conversations based on the 5 components of the blueprint of We collaboration document to develop connection and identity for the large group. And then they return to that blueprint design lab a couple more times to create a group blueprint identity and to design action going forward. And then throughout the year, the individual project teams write and develop their own blueprints of We for specific projects, and they're given biweekly prompts to further develop collaboration and connection.
That is so impressive. And to see the broad applicability of Blueprint of We from families to large groups and internationally applicable as well. And that's so wonderful to hear because, of course, we're looking at co-creating peace across the planet and so many tools are needed to do this. And this sounds like such a powerful and multiply applicable tool, the Blueprint of We. And I know that many of my listeners are going to want to learn more about this. Sheila, how can people find out more information about the Blueprint of We collaboration process?
Our webpage is blueprintofwecalifornia.com. And in the middle of that page is a link to a 2-page introductory article, which talks about the 5 components of the Blueprint of We collaboration document.
Excellent. And I'm sure that they can find your contact information on the website as well. And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking of clients that I have that could benefit from the Blueprint of We. So we'll talk about that more offline. I want to thank you both, Rachel Aaron and Sheila, for this great opportunity to hear you, to feel your sincerity, and to learn more about the Blueprint of We. Thank you both so much, and I wish you many blessings in the good work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for having us, Kathleen. It was such a blessing to be here and to get to speak to your audience.
Thank you, Kathleen, from me too. It was such a pleasure.
In case you didn't catch that website address, it's www.blueprintofwecalifornia.com.
As Sheila gave the website address, she mentioned that on the homepage of the website, there's a link to an introductory document, which includes the 5 components of a collaboration document. Since I didn't take the opportunity then to ask her what they are, which I regret, I thought I would tell you what they are before we move on to the next segment of today's episode. The 5 components of a Blueprint of We collaboration document are the story of us, interaction styles and warning signs, custom design, questions for peace and possibility, and short and long-term time frames. There's also a link on their homepage to a free ebook called Collaboration and Your Brain.
Now here's a letter I received from a listener and the advice I gave her in response. Dear Kathleen, my fiancé and I are getting married in December. We've been together for a couple of years and love each other very much. Neither of us has been married before, and we've never lived together. My concern is that we come from different backgrounds and upbringing, and I'm afraid that will lead to problems in our relationship once we're living together, and especially if we start a family of our own. My parents fought a lot, and I don't want to have that kind of marriage, and I don't want to put my kids through what I went through. Do you have any advice for us? Signed, Seeking Happily Ever After. Here's my reply. Dear Seeking, I really appreciate you asking. It's so important to have the kind of foresight that you have when entering into any kind of long-term relationship, especially marriage. Differences in background and upbringing don't have to be a source of conflict. They can actually give a beautiful depth and richness to a relationship if they're honored and celebrated, and even more so if they are combined into something new and better. Where conflict comes in is when people have assumptions and unspoken expectations that aren't verified with the other person, especially if those assumptions and expectations involve the other person being required to change in some way or to give up something that's important to them. In my way of thinking, one of the best ways to ensure a long, harmonious, and fruitful relationship, regardless of the nature of that relationship, is to talk about what's important to us and deeply listen to the other person or people involved about what's important to them. Negotiate where you need to in order to honor what's important to each of you. Mindfully plan these conversations in advance. You might find some helpful ideas for how to plan such an important conversation in episode 3 of my podcast, where I talk about conscious communication. I encourage you each to find a quiet time and place where you can be alone without the other person being with you and make a list of what's most important to you. Actually write down your thoughts to help you sort them out and to help you remember them when you sit down together to talk. Think about how you imagine your relationship to be in the future. What are the major components of that relationship? In the case of marriage, some examples are career, children and their upbringing, including their spiritual upbringing, how they will be disciplined, etc. Finances, how decisions will be made, how conflicts will be approached, and so on. Make a list of the major components that you see. What are your assumptions and expectations about each of these? What are your values? Do any of these aspects feel non-negotiable to you? If so, why? When you sit down to discuss all this, you'll want to be as clear as possible in your own mind so that you can be clear in your communication. Then plan some times to have these conversations and come to them with an open mind and heart, and the willingness to learn and to negotiate co-creative ways to consciously structure your relationship so that it meets as many of the needs of both of you as possible. If you feel you need additional support in negotiating and consciously co-creating your relationship, there are many people and processes to help with this. Mediators, therapists, and ministers are among those who can assist. Consider the conscious communication process I described in episode 3 and the blueprint of WE as possible processes that might work very well for you. You already have a head start toward your happily ever after because of the foresight you had to ask this question. Please let me know if I can help you further on your journey to get there. I look forward to hearing from more of you with your requests for advice about conscious communication or conflict transformation. I will honor whatever level of confidentiality you want in my response. I'm also happy to answer any questions you might have about anything I've shared with you. All you have to do is email me at owegon@bridgesofpeace.com. That's OWEEGON @bridgesofpeace.com. I will reply within 2 business days. If you have ideas for this podcast or specific things you'd like to learn about conscious communication and conflict transformation, please let me know that too. I want this show to have a direct and positive impact on your life. You'll be able to hear a new episode of Co-Creating Peace every weekend. Join me next week for an episode I'm calling Stuck in the Frame, where I'll talk about how we tend to get attached to a frame of reference or a story in our head about a situation or a person, and how getting stuck in that frame can hinder collaboration and conflict transformation. This ties into reframing our perspective, which I discussed in episode 14. This episode of Co-Creating Peace has been brought to you by Bridges of Peace, providing mediation, facilitation, training, and communication coaching services throughout the U.S. and around the world. Learn more about Bridges of Peace by visiting www.bridgesofpeace.com. Thank you for listening, and may you always find new ways to co-create peace in your life.